Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth with myself and Professor Jim Fetzer. Good morning, Jim.
Well, good morning, Maria. I can't believe the way this campaign 2016 is evolving. It's completely stunning.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare of epic proportion. That's the way
I agree completely with that. And we seem to have a continuation of Hillary Clinton's ongoing deception of the American people by, you know, getting rid of some 33,000 emails off of a server that wasn't even protected by as much as a password, where she was transmitting the special access program information, the most highly classified in the American intelligence arsenal, even including the names of covert CIA agents, one of whom was an Iranian atomic scientist who, because of her emails, has been outed and now hanged.
Well, that's another story that doesn't make too much sense to me. First of all, this guy was supposed to be a spy working for the U.S. Then for whatever reason, they say because he missed his son, he went back to Iran. I mean, what did he expect was going to happen? And he got paid $5 million for his effort, too.
Well, it's pretty stunning. I have been laboring under the belief that but for her emails, he would not have been exposed. So,
well, you just never know anymore. Do you know what I mean? I mean, look, how much more needs to be exposed before people wake up? It seems no matter how much they expose about Trump or Hillary, people just don't seem to care. I mean, that's really the craziest part, is people don't seem to care. They're still rah-rahing for either candidate.
Well, I believe these latest revelations about her health are actually going to make a difference, because when you conceal that you're suffering from serious medical maladies, in this case, it looks as though Hillary is either suffering from the effects of a great many brain clots, blood clots of the brain, or from Parkinson's disease, which my own research suggests is precisely what is the case here, which explains why she's had, you know, avoided steadfastly having any press conferences for, good God, is it a year now, Maria? I mean, it's outrageous that a candidate for the presidency would be avoiding having press conferences, but it's clear that a person with Parkinson in a stage such as hers, confronted with stress, sudden movements, and so forth, can freeze up, as she did recently during a political rally, mm-hmm. where her personal assistant, who appears to be a physician, a very large black guy, came over and told her to keep talking while he tweaked her back, which is some kind of mind control signal. So she kept talking. But when you combine that with a number of falls she's endured, which have already been reported to have caused concussions, where we don't even know the cause of the fall, but which is completely consistent with Parkinson's once again, and where we had in her released emails, one from Huma Abedin, who's her up-close and personal assistant, explaining that Hillary gets easily confused, and therefore if she's taking a phone call from a foreign nation, for example, someone needs to be there to hold her hand. I think all of this is adding up to a colossal deception of the American people, Maria. It troubles me profoundly.
Well, the other thing I read in the New York Times, that her doctor, who supposedly did her physical, said that she suffers from hypothyroidism and seasonal allergies. Now, one thing I do know about hypothyroidism is it could make you go blank. It can erase your memory. It can make you fall. It can be also her thyroid that's all out of whack, creating what she's going through. But I did see the films of her freezing, and it's kind of unmistakable. I said to myself, wow, another Ronald Reagan presidency.
Yes, yes, it's all very shocking. And however, it seems to me completely consistent. I mean, there are those more expert in these matters than I, Maria, who are predicting she may not even make it to the election. And if she were to be elected and then die, what do we know about this guy, Tim Kaine, who would be her successor? We know in the pocket of Wall Street, we know he's for TPP. We know Hillary, although denying it of late, has on more than 45 occasions expressed her heartfelt endorsement of the TPP, like NAFTA before it, where the TPP has been described as NAFTA on steroids. It would continue to gut our manufacturing and industrial base and deplete the middle class. I mean, it's a horrible event to anticipate, because corporations would then truly be ruling the world. It creates a board of attorneys that have the right to override the laws and statutes of any of the 14 Pacific Rim nations, thereby subsumed up to and including the Constitution of the United States. Maria, could that be why Barack Obama hasn't mentioned about the TPP, that it would obviate the sovereignty of the nation?
Well, of course, but isn't it interesting that with all the hoopla a few months ago about replacing Antonin Scalia, that nothing has happened on that level?
Well, it is. The whole Scalia thing was very strange, and I'm increasingly disposed to believe that he was, in fact, murders. It was a remote resort location. He had no security. He was supposed to have been found with a pillow over his face. From what I've been able to discern, he was actually murdered by a young man he was sexually abusing, who slit his throat, which may explain why the family wanted no autopsy to be done, and why Obama spoke so disparagingly about him. I was stunned by the disrespect shown by the President of the United States for the death of a Supreme Court justice, Maria.
Well, maybe that's exactly what was going down. Maybe he was, you know, a pedophile and whatnot. But my question is, all of a sudden, you remember how much flack there was, how many stories there were about replacing the Supreme Court justice, and then that all went away. It's like non-existent. So, you know, you got to look at, you know.
It's non-existent. And this has to be one of the crucial issues, you know, of this campaign, where I'm in the following kind of dilemma. I think that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have it right in relation to the endless wars in the Middle East, where they would adopt not an isolationist but a non-interventionist foreign policy, where they both bemoan the squandering of $4 to $5 trillion, the loss of our brave men and women in combat for wars we should never have fought, which were motivated by the events of 9/11, which were an orchestrated attack by the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense and the Mossad in order to have America become enmeshed in wars that can only benefit Israel. They're doing us no good at all. And, of course, their opposition to the TPP, where, you know, in terms of domestic issues such as women, reproductive rights, Social Security, and the like, I'm really on the other side with the Democrats. In fact, I voted for Obama twice. I've come to regret that, because I believe he seriously misled us in every possible way. He's certainly not living up to his oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, but doing something rather akin to the opposite. A recent conversation between high-ranking members of Homeland Security and the Obama administration revealed their plans for a seizure of weapons by doing it really in a very rapid period of time This is a colossal embarrassment, but it's very revealing and important the American people understand. So I like Hillary's domestic policy, but it seems to me in this election, the foreign policy considerations are overriding for the reason that, as even Vladimir Putin has observed, if Hillary's election, it's going to be war, and that will be the war to end all wars. There'll be a nuclear exchange between Russia and the United States, which neither you nor I, alas, are going to survive.
Right. Well, you also have Donald Trump, who keeps asking, you know, what's the sense in having the nuclear triad if we can't use it? So to me, it's like, no matter what, it's war on either side. Do you know what I mean? I mean, here's a guy who asked 10 times in 1 hour why we can't use nuclear weapons as a preemptive strike. I mean, that's craziness.
Yeah, that kind of thing does disturb me, too. I quite agree. So, you know.
All right. And to get, I wanted to get back to what you said about Tim Kaine and Hillary. If you remember, I'm pretty sure on our last show, I said to you, this is a year where the vice presidential picks are more important than who's running for president. Because the chances are good, both of them in bad physical shape. A lot of people want to have Trump mentally examined. If we ended up with Mike Pence as president, this country is doomed. We'll be under Sharia biblical law in no time flat.
Well, isn't Pence some kind of evangelical Christian type? I mean, not that he's not, I don't know
right.
that he's sympathetic.
Right.
To,
well, he's came out the same as Marco Rubio this week, which I'm sure you saw, and said that women that get pregnant that have the Zika virus, that's no excuse for them to have an abortion. You know, Pence is the guy in Indiana that wants you to have cremation or funeral for your aborted fetus. And there's no exceptions to abortion. You know, and I was reading that these kids that get that disease, Jim, they usually die young, but the cost, the health cost, is a minimum of $1 million. So if,
oh, yeah, sure.
So if Rubio, Pence, and people like that that want to force women to have, you know, defective children, are they going to cover the health care bills?
Yes, yes, yes. No, I think you're right about these issues and that on abortion,
right,
their position is appalling. I mean, it's simply
right.
appalling.
Well, not just that. They have the same position on LGBT rights. I mean, these people, you know, follow the path of dominionism, where they want biblical law to replace the Constitution. And I mean, this is serious, serious stuff.
How do we get in a situation like this, Maria, where we have such a, you know, preposterous candidates for president of the United States? I mean, because of Donald's stance on the wars in the Middle East and the TPP, I favored him and Bernie, but through the DNC, they made to sabotage Bernie's campaign.
Right.
I believe if he had defied the party and not endorsed Hillary, but joined Jill Stein as the presidential candidate on the Green Party ticket with her as VP, they would be in the lead right now.
Absolutely. I mean, the millennials are not going to vote for either one of the two parties. I mean, there's a million articles around about that, and I don't blame them. But I think when you ask, you know, how did we get here? Americans for a very long time, Jim, have not paid attention to politics. And, you know, they're too busy with their TV, their beer, whatever. And I always tell people, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. And it seems that this new generation, this millennial generation, seems to be more interested because they're suffering the most. They see they have no future. They can't compete with their parents' lifestyle. And they don't want status quo. And no matter how you look at it, 2 millionaires running for office is still voting for the establishment. And kids are not stupid, all right? I think these are the smartest kids in the world. I mean, I don't know how young your grandchildren are, Jim. But, I mean, you look at little kids and how they're handling technology and this and that. And you know what? I don't think our generation could have been that quick with it. So they're not stupid.
You're making an interesting point. No, my grandchildren are 9 and 5, and the 9-year-old took me on the Sunday for a Pokemon walk. I knew nothing about it. He explained the whole thing to me. I mean, it's astounding, the sophistication of these little kids.
Right.
With this high-tech, I mean, this is an activity that involves geography, imagination, satellite images from Google Earth, and the whole lot to capture these invisible little creatures called Pokemon. It's become an international rage, Maria, and would you believe until 2 days ago, I didn't know anything about it.
I knew about it, and I've been reporting on it, and warning people about it, okay? But people, you know, listen, people have willingly signed up for their own slavery. You remember when we were young and they used to talk about moving to a cashless society, and everybody used to blow that off as some futuristic nightmare that's never going to happen, okay? Well, that was in the 1960s, so here we are, you know, 50 years later. And we're a cashless society, okay? These kids are going to, you know, people are willingly, you know, getting chipped. Can't wait till they have a computer screen show up on their arm. They seem to be rooting for transhumanism. And this Pokemon was so dangerous in so many ways, not just, for surveillance, but if you think about it and everybody that downloaded that app, that meant that Google could suck all their information, all their data off their gadget. And the other thing is, there are certain private parcels of land, Jim, that the government doesn't have pictures of. Okay? They might be private property. They're not allowed. But now they got all these kids doing the work for them. They'll put the Pokemon on a spot that they don't have surveillance on, and the kid will snap the picture for them. So think about people literally signing up for their own demise, because that's what I see, and they put it out there as entertainment.
Well, it's fairly stunning that so much is going on here, where, yes, we live in a surveillance society, and I do appreciate that it looks as though Pokemon is a way of getting all kinds of very detailed information about everyone who participates, which may, if it's being used for surveillance purposes, maybe the most successful program of its kind ever devised by,
absolutely,
unfortunately, evil forces.
Right, exactly. Let's make it cute. Let's make everybody do it. You know, my granddaughter visited, and she was, you know, following the Pokemon. And I tried to explain to her what's going on, and she said, but Grandma, at least we're outside taking walks. And I said, you know what? I take walks all my life, and I don't need to chase some invisible thing. Okay. So that's how they're selling it to the public. Get more exercise, get out in nature, and make sure you give us all the information we want. So it's kind of scary. But I'll tell you what, I don't know. I'm sure you get your notices from Social Security. About a month ago, I get an email from Social Security. This is kind of interesting. And they say that without your cell phone number, you'll no longer be able to access their website, okay, starting August 1st. I don't know if you saw that, Jim.
Well, I haven't seen that, but that's quite outrageous.
Well, they want that as more security. So what do? I go on to their site, I get into a live chat. And they were so bombarded, if you leave your phone number, they'll call you, you know, next available call. So I do that. And the woman calls me from Social Security, probably in about 15 minutes. And I said to her, listen, I just got this email. I don't have a cell phone. And why should I be shut out of the website? Because I don't have a cell phone. What are we supposed to do? Well, interesting, because I honestly believe I'm the only person in the world left without a cell phone, right? She says to me, I have to tell you that they never anticipated it. I came in this morning where I normally have 5 calls to make, and I had over 300, everybody screaming, because a lot of people don't have cell phones over the age of 65. So they have to work on a fix. That's what they told me. So I said, well, at least I know I'm not the only person that still refuses to have a cell phone and be tracked everywhere I go. So I guess they didn't anticipate that a lot of seniors are not buying into the surveillance. And I think it's because of our age And what we know they can do with this kind of information, we've always talked about them tracking people in 1984 and Brave New World, which I think a lot of young kids have never read. So we refuse to participate, which is probably another reason why they want to kill Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and hope that we all die so we can't educate the next generation.
Well, it's just stunning, but I very much want us not to discuss further Hillary's health problems. I mean, how do they affect you in your thinking about this campaign?
Well, listen, first of all, I wouldn't vote for Hillary or Trump. I'm not playing the game, okay? The two-party system's been a game that people have willingly played for way too long. I mean, before this election, I was registered independent for at least 20 years. And, you know, I had to change parties or I couldn't vote for Bernie Sanders, which is ridiculous. Okay. So for me, knowing that our vote doesn't count, I've known about the Electoral College since high school. The delegates and superdelegates America just woke up to all these years later. So if your vote doesn't count, and I saw some of your work that you've done. I had Clint Curtis on my show years ago after the stolen election of 2000, the guy who testified in front of Congress about the voting machines flipping votes. He designed the software. I don't play the game. If you're going to throw your vote away anyway and understand your vote doesn't count, the only vote we have is protest. Just protest by voting for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. I mean, I'm not wild about Gary Johnson. But, you know, people have to say we don't want to play this game anymore. This is one party for the rich and one party for Wall Street and the corporations. And all we get is puppet theater, not even good theater. That's really, it doesn't matter to me. Her health, his health, he's nuts, she's sick. What does it matter? They're never the people that run this country. They're only the face. You know, the Rockefellers and Rothschilds just every 4 years say, who's going to wear the suit? And that's the way it goes.
This is all terribly interesting. I'm sure you followed the business with this con fellow who spoke at the Democratic convention and pulled out the little constitution. The reports I have is he received some $375,000 from the Clinton Foundation. And his company is involved in bringing Muslim immigrants into the United States. That he believes that Sharia law trumps the Constitution and that the Constitution was only bought for him 2 days before and he returned it after he spoke.
Well, I don't doubt that, and people have been posting that. And, you know, the one thing that I posted, and nobody answered, I was like, wow, usually I get demonized up the wahoo. Death threats, right? All I posted on one of those posts was, but his son is still dead. You know, his son still died serving this country. You look at the Republican...
He was politicizing his son's death. He was taking advantage of it to capitalize on it for political purposes, for his own selfish interests. This guy isn't concerned with the United States other than as a repository of potential clients.
Right, but don't you...
You know, Muslims from the Middle East now is a terrible idea, and that Trump's completely right that we have to put an end to it until we can figure out what's going on.
I don't know. To me, I think the right-wing Christians in this country are more dangerous than the Muslims in this country. I'd rather see the right-wing Christians walled off in the state of their choosing, where they can hate everybody that's different than them, sexually, color-wise, politically. Just build a wall around all of them and put Trump in the middle and let them all rah-rah, sis-boom-bah themselves to death. I mean, when you look at most of the serial killers in this country, they're white Christian men. Okay? And I'm sure you saw that kid that shot up that church in Charleston got a good beat down in prison this week. And I was pretty glad about that, Dylan Roof. At the same time, George Zimmerman got his face punched in for bragging about killing that kid that he killed. But when you look at it, you know, let's face it, most of the maniacs in this country are white Christian men. And there's more Christians in prison than any other religion. Think about it.
The whole Dylann Roof Charleston shooting episode appears to have been contrived. We have video of him entering the back of the church at 0800. Someone didn't understand a 24-hour clock. That would be 8 a.m., not 8 p.m. We have a photograph showing that the patches, the apartheid patches on his jacket, were photoshopped in. If he had actually shot up the church the way it's described, loading, reloading again and again, the pews would have been damaged. It would have been splinters, blood, body parts all over the place. The altar would have been completely a mess, and yet they had a church service there within 48 hours of the event, as though it were normal. You had a body that was laid out for a public viewing that was clearly not Clementa Pinckney, but someone with a much darker complexion, a much thicker neck, who appeared to be of Haitian extraction. Not the celebrated minister. Hillary just happened to be in town that day, so she was able to send her personal photographer over to the church to take photographs that will no doubt turn up in a campaign commercial. I smell a rat there.
Well, yeah, if you remember when they showed the arrest video, that was the softest arrest I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, that by itself was so unique, considering they just shot a black kid 15 times in the back yesterday. The kid was 18 years old. He was driving away from the cops in a stolen car. After they shot him, they were handcuffing him on the floor while he was still bleeding out. But this kid, maybe because he was white, maybe because he was a patsy, or a Manchurian candidate, the softest arrest that I have ever seen. Then they put a bulletproof jacket on him before they take him out of the courtroom and take him to Burger King before they lock him up.
I know.
So, I mean, if anybody doesn't see something wrong with that picture, then they have to be blind. Okay.
Well, he just had a thing for. He just needed a whopper, Maria.
Yeah, he needed a whopper.
He was incarcerated for like his last meal while he was free. But it is ridiculous. I agree completely.
Exactly.
Which, of course, further confirms my interpretation that this was another completely phony staged event where I believe nobody actually died.
Right. I think it's the actor Steven Seagal that says all these mass shootings are created by the government. So, you know, I mean, I've never been a big fan of his, although I've seen a few of his movies, but I said, wow, that guy's dead on. What did you think about them releasing John Hinckley from jail?
Well, Hinckley didn't do it. Reagan was actually shot by the Secret Service man and pushed him into the vehicle. The bullet entered under his armpit. It was a little flesh shot that barely missed his heart. He was being given the signal, let George do it. And after his hospitalization, George H.W. Bush was basically running the government.
Right. But remember, Hinckley just did 35 years in prison.
Yeah. I think it's fine for him to be released. I mean, the Hinckleys and the Bushes were friends. In fact, I believe it was Marvin who was having dinner with the Hinckley's parents that very evening. I mean, this is such a small world, Maria, when it comes down to the crime and criminality and faking assassination attempts and all that. Except, see, that was a real one where Hinckley was a patsy and the Secret Service agent really was a designated fallback shooter and did his job, but most people haven't figured it out.
No, and you know how many times? I would say once every couple of months. I will again post on social media how Martin Luther King's assassination was retried and it was a government conspiracy. And yet people still believe the official story even after these cases are retried, like the JFK case when it was reopened in the 90s and they said it was a conspiracy. But everybody still buys the old original story.
Well, you mean the HSCA reinvestigation in 77, 78, where they published their final report in 79. But, you know, that conclusion that was a conspiracy, that there had been at least another shooter, there's a statement in the National Archives that's unsigned that says that that conclusion was based on faulty audio evidence. It was from a tape recording because a motorcycle patrolman purportedly left his mic on. I've watched the analysis of that. It seems to me that it reflects seven or eight shots about where the government has suppressed it all. And now officially, if you go to the archives, they've repudiated that conclusion right. from the HSCA, even though you're completely right. I mean, the fact of the matter is there were at least six shooters whom I've identified. If anyone wants to go into this, check out the article. Six JFK shooters named, three with ties to the CIA, Oswald not among them. On my website, on my blog at jamesfetzer.blogspot.com.
You there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to
check. Did we lose a gap?
No, you just said blogspot.com, then it got really quiet. But I'm also talking about I'm also talking about, you know, Martin Luther King. James Earl Ray had admitted how many times that he didn't shoot Martin Luther King. And yet they keep these patsies like Sirhan Sirhan in jail forever so the truth can't get out. Kind of reminds me of Abraham Bolden when he was warning, when Kennedy was president, that the CIA was going to refuse, the Secret Service was going to refuse to protect Kennedy, and they locked Abe Bolden up until after the assassination was done, so he couldn't tell the truth.
Well, that's right. It's like Rose Jeremy, who was this stripper who was traveling with a group coming up from Miami, got thrown out of the car. She was hospitalized. Nice. Before the assassination, she was saying they're going to kill him, that they were heading to Dallas to kill him. Mm-hmm. And the physicians wouldn't take her seriously. And then, of course, he was killed like 48 hours later. But she was talking about it already in advance. In fact, Oliver Stone's film JFK begins with the Rose Jeremy story.
Exactly. So, you know, you and I, we've grown up when they were, you know, practicing these events. And we all fell for it. Remember, they confiscated everybody's films at Dealey Plaza. They shut down witnesses after that, same as they did on 9/11. That was the first thing they did, was confiscate films. I mean, how could it be the Pentagon, which probably has a camera every 5 feet or less? And the only film we got is what, about 3 seconds of a bomb exploding?
Well, there are five frames, one of which is conveniently labeled plane and shows something above a gate mechanism. I asked Jack White, a legendary photo and film analyst from JFK with whom I'd long collaborated, to size an image of a Boeing 757 to the tail. And when he did it, the 757 was more than twice as large as the image shown, which means that the government's own evidence contradicts the government's story about 9/11. Moreover, now I've done work with Dennis Camino, who's an expert. He was the Navy's top electronics troubleshooter, has a lot of flight experience. And Dennis has built a convincing case that actually the image there is of a global hawk, which is firing a missile into the Pentagon to kill all of the accountants, financial experts, and budget people who are trying to track the $2.3 trillion. Rumsfeld appears to have directed them all to get into the West Wing with all the documents and records so it could be taken out at one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm. And yet people still want to believe that official story. Jim, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to Roaring Truth with myself and Jim Fetzer. We're talking, maybe this should have been the We Were Born in the 40s We Remember show. Because when I look at history constantly repeating itself, it's like, you know what, I don't want to play this game anymore. And until, you know, most Americans wake up and realize that we've all been had, we don't get to pick the candidates. That's where the throwing of the election begins, you know. And then after that, you know, I remember when I used to vote as an independent, I'd give them the voting paper and they wouldn't even put it through the regular machine. It went into like a big plastic bin. I said, what's that, the shredder? That's what I would tell them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been promoting for years saying if everybody voted third party, if the machines are set up to flip from Democrat to Republican and vice versa, why not everybody vote third party where they're not prepared to flip those votes and shock the hell out of them? But you can't get Americans to unite behind anything. Do you know what I mean? Everybody's busy fighting everybody else.
Well, I think most Americans, you know, have a hard enough time getting food on the table, keeping a roof over their heads. They get their news in sound bites. You got the exact same story coming from all the networks, and MSNBC has been reduced to nothing but a cheerleader for Hillary Clinton. It's insulting to even listen to Rachel Maddow or you know, others that Lawrence O'Donnell or
right. Well, everybody figured out Rachel Maddow. Right. Everybody figured out that Rachel Maddow is another waste of time when she started backing Hillary. You know, and
well,
some people in the alternative, you know.
They may regard themselves as sisters, you know, in orientation, because as Bill has observed, Hillary's had more women than he has. You put it in more colorful language. But of course, Rachel is the rage because she's the lesbian anchor on a show on MSNBC. But, you know, I thought that when James Comey, the director of the FBI, gave Hillary a free pass, we'd seen, you know, the most outrageous yet in terms of denial of her criminal activities. But now he's been succeeded by a fellow named Michael Morell, who is the one-time acting director of the CIA. Mm. And listen to this, Maria. She said the attack was terrorism to Chelsea Clinton, Morell said. She said to the families of Benghazi victims, it was a video. These two things can both be true at the same time, he said. Well, but they were both true insofar as she having said them, but the explanation clearly is ambiguous. And Hillary, I believe, like Morell, is in fact trading on disinformation. Get this, he also defended Clinton's misuse. He defended Clinton's misuse of classified information in her use of a private email server while Secretary of State saying when she saw those emails, she did not see classification markings. So when she said there wasn't classified information, that's what she mean. He said it wasn't marked. And the two that were marked with a little C, she doesn't remember. She's not trying to mislead anybody. Maria, this is such a crock of bullshit. I cannot believe it. The security classification is a function of the content. It's got nothing to do with its marks. Hillary's been trading on this ambiguity between whether these emails were already marked classified, top secret, secret, or even above that, these higher levels of classification. And she is actually, or was, as Secretary of State, one of the government's designated classifiers. In other words, she had been given instruction by the Department of State as to when a document deserved to be classified at a certain level. She has known it from the beginning. Her violations have nothing to do with whether they were already classified or not. And Morell is just blowing smoke right in our faces. I mean, this has become beyond outrageous, Maria. We're getting lied to by every level of the government for a miscreant.
Right.
Who violated the national security of the United States by her reckless disregard of ordinary security protocols.
Well, I don't disagree, but you don't expect her to fall on the sword, do you? I mean, look at Flint. Look at Flint, Michigan. Okay, they had six employees fall on the sword. nobody's, you know, nothing's touched the governor or the people that really created the situation with the lead in the water there. And it's always the little peons that have to fall on the sword for the kings and queens. You know, people say we don't have a monarchy in this country. They've got to be kidding. We just call them presidents, but they're all kings and queens in their own right.
And you know that the Clinton death list is growing. We have a new recent addition, Sean Lucas, who was found dead this week, who was the lead attorney in the anti-Clinton DNC fraud case. Mysteriously found dead. Here's part of the article. As we noted previously, there's a long history of Clinton-related body counts with scores of people dying under mysterious circumstances. While Vince Foster remains the most infamous, the body count is starting to build ominously this election cycle.
Of
From
course.
The mysterious crushing his own throat death of a UN official to the latest death of an attorney who served the DNC with a fraud suit. Sean Lucas and filmmaker Richard Bulba served the DNC Services Corp and chairperson Debbie Wasserman Schultz at DNC headquarters in D.C. in the fraud class action suit against the Democratic Party on behalf of Bernie Sanders supporters. And now, of course, she's dead. I mean, this is outrageous.
Well, I mean, when you look at that, doesn't that explain why Bernie Sanders stepped down and looked angry the rest of the convention?
Oh, his jaws were clenched. He was grimacing.
Right.
Maria,
so was his wife. She was crying.
You could see the significant injury to his left cheek where he had been gouged. We have witnesses reporting seeing men come out of his hotel room, and one of them was covered with blood. I think they beat him up. I mean, this is the kind of thuggery we typically associate with the Third Reich, not with American politics.
Well, we are moving towards the Third Reich, and I go back to Operation Paperclip. And, you know, I have asked for so many years on my show, whose agenda are we following? Because it looks like we're following a Nazi agenda in this country. From NASA to the CIA to all of them being seated originally with nothing but Nazis, the best of the crazy Nazis. So when you look at, you know, the world comparing, you know, Trump to Mussolini to Hitler, being afraid of, you know, both parties, okay, of war on both ends, no matter who gets in, we're in war without question. The rest of the world is rightfully so. You know, realizing that this election is going to affect them as much as it affects us.
Well, there's something terribly wrong with the polling industry. In fact, one pollster was cited in the New York Times. Cliff Zuckin said, election polling is in near crisis, and we pollsters know. It turns out that those that are coming out from the mainstream media are, you know, corrupt. They appear to have even changed the formula in order to keep Hillary ahead, despite an overwhelming percentage saying they could never trust Hillary. And when they did their own, this outfit did their own independent poll, calling 1,000 homes in each of the 50 states, Maria, asking basic questions on the economy, terrorism, immigration, who a person's presidential pick was. The economy turned out to be number one, terrorism number two. Their poll consists of 1,000 per 50 or 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, while they broke it down with 33% Republicans, 33% Democrats, 34% Independents, there was a staggering preference for Trump. I mean, actually, by a ratio of 67% to 19 with 13 undecided. I mean, that suggests that the whole business of polling is totally rigged. Even if you assume this is only half right, Maria, the pollsters are clearly corrupt and benefiting Hillary's campaign to the detriment of the American people and their own integrity.
Right. Well, what I noticed is something you said earlier, which is correct. MSNBC has been a Hillary fan since the beginning, but Fox was Trump all the way until recently. So now Fox News has turned against Trump, making fun of him, laughing at him. I guess he slipped out with the word titties this week in his economic address, and that got all the attention of whatever he was talking about, the fact that he said titties. I mean, we live in a country of morons. But you look at that, you look at the 50 Republicans that are shifting over to Hillary, and a lot of them are big-name Republicans, the entire Bush family. She's getting a lot of Republican donors, so I'm going to stick with my original prediction from years ago that Trump's in this race to hand it to Hillary. She was chosen, and that's the way it's going to go.
Well, I'll tell you, I have made it a habit to go back and forth between Fox and MSNBC with occasional ventures to CNN, which is a complete CIA network. And I have not yet picked up on the point you're making. You're suggesting since Roger Ailes was forced out,
right,
that Fox has become more balanced. But I'll tell you, even when Ailes was there, they were overwhelmingly more balanced than CNN. It was ridiculous.
Right.
And last night, Hannity was featuring a story about Hillary's health, and now a mainstream publication of articles, the DC Clothesline, has published an article about it. I think this health matter is going to become very big news as long as the Donald stays away from it. This is an issue where he shouldn't intervene. He shouldn't make an issue. It ought to be left up to the press. And I believe if he does that, it's going to become a monster story, maybe the biggest story yet of the campaign.
And yet, they'll still do what they do. Okay, talk about polls. Remember, polls were always accurate until the stolen election of 2000?
Yeah.
And that's when, the polls must be wrong. Okay, you and I both know Al Gore won that election. But unfortunately, or fortunately for Bush, 9/11 happened. So much for that recount. But after that, all of a sudden, polls weren't good.
The day after 9/11, they were going to release the poll results by this consortium of major newspapers that would have demonstrated that had the voting been counted correctly, that Gore won the presidency.
Right.
But because of 9/11, they shelved it for the sake of national unity, which I think was a blunder any way you cut it. In fact, that's another reason for having orchestrated the events of 9/11 on the date at that point in time when it took place.
Absolutely. And don't forget, the Supreme Court picked the president. They said the recount would have been harmful to George Bush. Of course it would have been harmful. It would have shown he didn't win. And then we got 8 years of that.
Yeah, Scalia appears to have played a major role in that. I mean, this will be the most despicable decision ever made by the Supreme Court in American history to intervene in the democratic process and to stop recounting the votes. I mean, this is just outrageous in the extreme, Maria.
I agree. And look at the world we got for the Supreme Court's decision. Why is it? And who knows what that had to do with Scalia's death. If we wanted to connect that, we probably could somehow dig up information. But when you have the Supreme Court, who don't have term limits, we didn't vote for them, pick your president, how much more do people need to realize that their vote doesn't count?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to argue with you, Donald or Hillary or this and that, because when people want to argue, I just look at them and say, but don't you know your vote doesn't count? Doesn't matter why you're getting all hot and bothered. We're not the ones that picked the presidents. You know, years ago when I read Vote Scam, that book is a classic, and it's wonderful, and it's by the Collier brothers. And they had a line in that book that I never forgot. They said, you can't vote the bastards out because you didn't vote the bastards in. And that was in the 1970s when they first picked up how the voting machines were flipping votes, and they took it to Janet Napolitano at the time, who was, you know, up in office in Florida. And, of course, she didn't want anything to do with it. And then before you know it, you know, the Collier brothers no longer exist. But years later when Napolitano had the same thing happen, now was it Napolitano? I'm trying to think of the other judge that was in place with Waco. Janet Reno. They took it to Janet Reno.
It was Janet Reno.
When Reno ran for office a few years back, the same thing happened to her. And she tried to bitch about it and get a recount, and I said she should have listened to the Collier brothers. But she didn't care until it happened to her. So people out there that are busy killing each other and fighting with their own family members over this stupid election, they're just playing their game. And I truly don't play the game anymore. I really never have. You know, when I was younger and stupid, okay, that was different. But once you get educated, you know, vote with your conscience. That's my thought. So my conscience is, if my vote's going to get tossed anyway, why not vote for two people that I detest? And the one thing that I do agree with is over 80% of Americans are unhappy with this choice this year. They don't like either candidate.
Yes. And that's why it would have been the perfect opportunity for a third party to make a difference if only Bernie had not kowtowed, had not buckled under, had defied Hillary, not endorsed her, and joined Jill Stein as the head of the Green Party ticket. That would have been a sensation.
But if they threatened him, threatened his family, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Who knows what they said to him? Look at the body count building up. And it's, you know, and it's not new. It's not like this is the first time the Clintons have left a trail of blood behind. So, you know,
By the way, I just sent you a video clip. It's less than 5 minutes of the discussion of Hillary's health issues on Hannity last night, including the handler's injection of diazepam in a pan. I mean, all this stuff is really quite stunning, Maria. I think it's indispensable that it become a matter of very broad, widespread public discussion.
Well, I think, listen, I've said for a long time, not only do they need to take a physical, they need to take a mental exam to run for office. And man, this year alone, both of them could use a mental exam. You know,
yeah, so
it's crazy.
I discussed that with a friend who's deeply involved in these issues, and he said, well, they'll get the best CIA physician and psychiatrist they can arrange, you know, to guarantee a predetermined outcome.
Well, you know, rumor has it, and it sure looks true, that Bill Clinton doesn't have long to go. A lot of people are positing he's got HIV, he's got less than a year to go. I mean, I don't know if you saw him at the convention, but he's two sheets to the wind, without question of a doubt. He was, his body was there, but I don't know where the hell his mind was, because he looked like he was totally out of it.
Get this, Maria. ABC cut off Donald Trump in a speech when he said that Hillary helped to create ISIS. I guarantee you that is true. I've done a huge amount about it. At the Left Forum, I spoke on how we know that ISIS was made in the USA. I even published an article in Iran Review about it, because no American journalist is going to acknowledge the facts.
Right.
The Judicial Watch was able to, under Freedom of Information Act request, obtained a copy of the Defense Intelligence Agency that created ISIS, and it was, of course, while in 2012, where Hillary was serving as Secretary of State from 2009 to 2013, and ABC cut him off. They cut him off when he's talking about a rather crucial issue. That's outrageous.
Right. Well, you know, he better get with the program, because ISIS is, you know, not only a U.S. creation, but co-created with Israel, who he has pledged his support to. So he better not want to piss off Israel, because he may end up on a dastardly list.
Julian Assange, of course, has promised more emails with stunning revelations about Hillary. And they're going to be massive corruption. We already know she was complicit in transferring weapons from Libya to ISIS in Syria. I think this is going to get very deep, very dark, very messy.
But what amazes me, Jim, no matter how much gets exposed, people don't care. Okay? It's like it goes in one ear and out the other. They just don't care. And I don't know what it's going to take. What would it take on either side? Do you know what I'm saying? They're both so guilty, and they're both so wicked, and yet people still don't care. So, I mean, American apathy, you know, maybe it's true what they say, that Americans get the government they deserve.
The best government money can buy, Maria.
Oh, yeah. That's a great book by Greg Palast, that's for sure. The best democracy money can buy. Jim, thanks so much for joining me. I'm sure when we talk in 2 weeks, we'll still have plenty more to talk about. And it's like nonstop action.
Yeah, Maria, let us hope we survive until the next time.
That's for sure. Take care, Jim. We'll talk soon.
You too.
Jim Fetzer, check out his work at jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. Keep an open mind. Think about what we said today. Don't fall into the trap, okay? None of this is worth fighting with your family and friends over. That's what they want. Anyway, thanks again for supporting the show. If you don't have a subscription, please come over and subscribe. Keep real alternative voices going. And I'll see you guys on Thursday when I'm back with the news.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.